Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, last time we were talking about preaching like Jesus preached, and you had made reference in an article that you wrote for our Sermon Coach newsletter to some of the adjectives that were ascribed to Jesus' preaching, and you got those adjectives from the Amplified New Testament.
Hey, you want to hear some of them?
Yeah. Would you do that?
Yeah, sure. It says, the people were astonished beyond means. That's not a normal response to a sermon. They were marveling, and this is a word. They were stunned, greatly amazed. Amazement is a word that comes up often in the NIV, which is a version many of us use, even now. When you're finished preaching, I was asking, and when I finish preaching, are people amazed at what I've said? It's just somehow touched into the very core of their being. And I'm thinking not very often, but there have been those exceptional times that I have been just almost bamboozled. I think, how in the world did that kind of response come from those people? Because with the best of my skills, I know I could never get that kind of response from them, you know. So it's, I feel like Simon the Sorcerer says, give me that power, you know, so that when I lay hands on people, the Holy Spirit will come upon them or whatever. It's quite amazing to me. And are these just exceptional people, or are they people from whom we can learn? That's the question.
We talked last time about certain individuals that have this amazing skill. We talked about Billy Graham. We talked about K.P. Yohanan. We talked about Francis Schaeffer. And the premise of these series of podcasts that we're doing now is that pastors do well to learn from those whose communication skills are like our Lord's.
Mm-hmm.
So let's delve into that a little bit. Let's put the whole subject, if you will, under a microscope. What were some of the characteristics that our Lord had that made his communication skills so incredibly powerful?
Well, you know, obviously he had the weight of who he was. At the Sermon on the Mount, they're aware there's something unusual about him because he's done miracles, but that's not characteristic of the Sermon on the Mount accounts. Basically, it's his preaching that absolutely captures them. I think he had a message that was, with all the expectations that the Jewish people had, he had a message that says, there's an alternative king on the scene. You know, you can bow to his kingship. Let me tell you what it will mean. And the things that he said as far as the result of bowing before this king, how it would affect your life, they were so basic, so elementary, and yet so essential. And when it was all done, it was not like, it actually says it wasn't like their scribes. It wasn't like a lot of ideas. It was something that reached into their very souls, and they said, this is the truth of the universe. There was that stamp of authenticity that the listener had. This is what I've been looking for all my life. It was strong enough. I mean, Jesus sends that message, says, you hear what I say and you ignore my words. You're like the person who built the house on the sand. When the storms came, it washed out. So they still had to respond to it. But there was something inside of them that said, there's the truth of the universe behind what he is saying in this message of the alternative kingship. Who cares for you when you mourn? Does Herod the king do that? No, but there's a new king on the scene. You know, and those mourners, you're going to be pleased now because of who this king is and how he operates and so on. Anyway, you can almost picture in your mind the people listening. I've been looking for this all my life, they're saying to themselves. This guy, he doesn't sound like all the people I've heard up until now. There's something unusual and absolutely breathtaking about this man. So, you know, how do we capture that?
Well, if we think about the three examples that you used, Billy Graham, K.P. Yohanan from Gospel for Asia, and Francis Schaeffer, we recognize in them certain key characteristics of their communication skills. For example, each one of those individuals always prepared extremely well. We talked about the fact that in each case, the message may seem upon first examination to be rather simple, but it was the truth of God's word being proclaimed in a way that was very inviting to the individuals. There was a connection that each of those speakers was able to make with the congregation, or in some of these arenas, the large audience that had come to hear, say, Billy Graham preach. Billy Graham had prepared his message well. He knew exactly the content and exactly the ideas that he wanted to get across in that message. And he had also carefully prepared the way that he was going to say what he wanted to say. So there's lessons there for our pastors. I wonder if we could talk about the kinds of lessons that come out of that.
One of the things I was thinking as you were talking and following what you were saying, so I wasn't thinking what I was going to say, there was a freshness to each of those persons that I've named in that they didn't sound like somebody else. They were their own person. If you listen to Billy Graham's sermons, he didn't start out with a text like you expect a minister to start out with. He started out with what was happening in the news. And he had this sense that I'm living in the same world you're living in, which was a very different thing for a minister to say. Francis Schaeffer didn't sound like a preacher. He sounded like Francis Schaeffer because he was talking almost like a college professor, and he didn't approach it from a text. He was saying, let me tell you how the thinking of the Western world is, that kind of thing. But it was a whole different approach. It was interesting to me that K.P. Yohanan, as he preached, it was like he was saying something to that audience, which it was a Christian audience. The audience that I referred to before, where these people just streamed down to the front, committing their whole life to Jesus, giving up good jobs to become missionaries at a very low salary to go to other parts of India. And it was a true missionary thing, because if they were going to leave South India and go up North India, they'd have to learn a new language and all the rest, you know, and totally change their lifestyle. But KP was saying something that these are people who had heard preaching all their life, but he was saying something that was different than what they had preached. And he was approaching them almost as a master mission strategist. And they weren't used to it. It was like sometimes, in fact, I could even name some other people. I won't, because I don't know that everybody would know the names. But when women preach, they don't approach it the same way men do. Now, if a woman is taught how to preach like men preach, I don't think it works real well. But women, a lot of times, are better storytellers, and they have a softness and a gentleness about them. And sometimes I found that men know how to defend themselves against the preaching of a lot of people, but they don't know how to defend themselves when a woman, out of her femininity, if I put it that way, and her kind of storytelling and that kind of approach begins to talk, men, they haven't heard it. So it's a new message to them. And sometimes women are kept just talking to women, but sometimes the ones who are most responsive to good women speakers in the church are men, because it's like, this is fresh and new. I don't know how to say no. I can't seem to put up the barriers that I always put up. I don't know how to do that. So there's a freshness and I think an authenticity that these people are who they are. If you would say, we're going to have Billy Graham teach the ministers at our seminary how to teach, probably there would be a reaction on the part of this. Well, I'm generalizing, but some people say he doesn't have the degrees. He doesn't have all these things that we would want him to have. But he had the ability to say, this is who I am, and I'm talking to you from my experiences. I don't know how to even say that. Billy had advantages most people don't, in that people were bringing non-Christians to his rallies. I mean, there were thousands and thousands of non-Christians, and they heard a message they've never heard before. And it was so simple and basic, but the Holy Spirit used that and went right to their hearts, and it's come to the front. If you need Jesus, you know that He's the missing part of your life. You come down here, we will help you experience Jesus in your life. And people were absolutely overwhelmed by that. They didn't know what to do. And on top of that, he had all kinds of people praying for him, and coming with deep personal prayer, because they're bringing a husband or they're bringing a son or daughter. This person needs Jesus. So you had a whole strange dynamic that most church services don't have. But it's a very interesting thing to me. I wish we could almost bundle it and say, now, we'll sell it to you. We would make a fortune.
It doesn't work that way.
It sure doesn't. Nope.
One of the characteristics of Jesus was he made much of his kingdom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And our friend Ed Stetzer from Lifeway Research, when he preaches, will often send a Twitter tweet out to his followers on Twitter and say, I'm preaching at such and such a location. Pray that I will make much of Jesus.
That's beautiful.
Pray that I will make much of Jesus. And when I think of Billy Graham or KP or Francis Schaeffer, I think of men who, when they preached, made much of Jesus.
Yeah, that's great.
And there's an element of that which pastors need to grasp onto, that because Jesus permeates the totality of Scripture. And there is no subject in Scripture that you're going to preach about that doesn't relate to Christ's kingdom. So if mentally you're thinking always, how do I make much of Jesus? That's going to guide your preaching significantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've felt that very much in my own messages. I spoke recently, and my question was, when I'm all done, I'm not sure I made as much of Jesus as I should. So I went back and reworked it, and I felt very good about it. And it was very interesting because a young man came up to me afterward, and he said, I really liked it the way you took everything and then pointed it right at Jesus. And thank you, Lord. That was a great word to me. Recently, even when I spoke at your church, I talked about millennials, and I kept in the preparation time, Jesus is a very interesting topic, but I haven't pointed it to you. And I tried to end saying Jesus would relate very well to these people. I'm not sure it accomplished as much as I wanted, but for my sake, when I was finished, I thought, I didn't avoid Jesus. You know, I tried to say, he's the one that could make it all work, and if we follow him, it's going to work out right. So what you're saying is something in my own life I've learned and tried to constantly say, my desire in this is not to have people say, yeah, you did very well, but it's to somehow continually point to Jesus, because that's really where the whole uniqueness of what we have to share rests.
Astonished and overwhelmed with wonder, fresh, with authority and ability and weight and power, astonished beyond means, marveling and even stunned. Pastors do well to learn from those whose communication skills are like our Lord's.
Mm-hmm. There's no way to manipulate that. Is I know in theaters, they can make your seats wobble or whatever, you know, and you really feel what's going on. I hope we don't come to that. I hope that just through our own learning and our closeness to the Lord, we can pull that off, and some of those words will come back again. Yeah.
Pastors are instruments of God's grace, and the way that Jesus reaches out through the power of the Holy Spirit to touch the lives of people in congregations, whether the pastor is preaching a message determined to be evangelistic, or whether he or she is preaching a message for spiritual formation to those who are believers and need a deeper walk with the Lord, emulating the very way that Jesus himself preached will certainly be a powerful tool in the communication arsenal of a good pastor.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us and being with us for this time together. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.